WMNF's Eclectic Community Music Festival Tropical Heat Wave 2024 is taking place on May 4th in Ybor City. We are full up on food vendors and are now seeking arts and crafts vendors to offer a variety of items for attendees. Tropical Heat Wave will be held at the Cuban Club located on the corner of República de Cuba and Palm Avenue in Ybor City. For more information and vendor fees, please email WMNF at WMNF.org or call during business hours at 813-238-8001. Go to TropicalHeatWave.org for lineup, tickets, and more. Thanks.
The science is controlling me to listen to WMNF Tampa.
The opinions presented on the Healthy Steps show are the evidence-based opinions of Dr. Fred Harvey, the callers, and his guests. These are not the opinions of the staff, the volunteers, or the board of WMNF. The information provided on the show is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. There is no implied patient-physician relationship in these calls. The nature of the calls is educational and informational only.
Good morning to you, my dear friend. If there is anything better than starting my Monday with you, I have not found it yet. And you know, there are over 100 radio stations on your radio dial, so words cannot express how deeply indebted I am to you for keeping your radio dial tuned to WMNF Tampa, the best little radio station in the nation and the favorite radio station to stream on Infant Island. And you can stream us as well at WMNF.org. And as you darn well know, you are always welcome to the Healthy Steps radio show with your favorite functional medicine man, Dr. Fred Harvey. Today is not a dog and pony show. Today is Ask Me Anything Monday. And that kind of show does not come lightly. We are depending on you. Do you have any medical questions or concerns? And we all do. Or better still, do you have any thoughts or musings about what ails you? Then you are invited to participate by calling 813-239-9663. Irene has given up some of this glorious Florida sunshine to sit in the phone booth, anxious to take your call. Again, that phone number to call is 813-239-9663. You can also send an email to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. And at this juncture, I will scoot myself out of the way and let Dr. Harvey start this show. Good morning to you, Dr. Fred, and welcome back. Let's get started. The mic is yours. What have you got for your listeners today?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Bill, for a wonderful introduction again. Ah, lovely day in Florida. What a beautiful, beautiful clear sky we have here today. So, yeah, always kind of interesting things in the news. I've been suspecting this from the beginning. Never thought that nicotine vape devices were really a huge improvement over smoking cigarettes, but there is some improvement. I mean, the particulate, the burnt particulates are very toxic, and yet there's so many other chemicals in the mix that the burnt particles add to the base problem. And then, you know, they make these vape devices with oils. One of the employees for one of these companies once told me, we use food grade oils. We use food grade glycerin or food grade medium chain triglycerides or something like that. Well, you know, food grade is an interesting thing. I like to eat food, but I've never eaten a meal with my lungs. How about you, Bill?
No, I can't say that I ever have.
I wonder whether, you know, ingesting food grade oils and vaping is all that great. And the studies are actually coming out now that really they aren't. They did a large study. There's a lot of lung injury that's been found, and the people one of the reasons they were looking is that during the pandemic, people that vaped actually had worse outcomes. And so there are actually studies now that are showing that there's an increased risk of respiratory diseases, heart attacks, and strokes from using e-cigarettes. So, you know, they might be a good way to make a switch off of cigarettes, but then you have to actually make a switch off of them too. The nicotine is still addictive. The nicotine still causes physiologic changes, and it still irritates the system. And just last week, the study was published and actually reviewed at the American College of Cardiology. This is a huge study. 175,667 population was looked at. 175,000, almost 200,000 people. That's a lot of them. And apparently there were over 3,000 events. And the events were of great concern because the issue is something called heart failure. And that is another, you know, cardiovascular disease, another reason to have cardiovascular death. But this huge population was adjusted. They, you know, you have to like take out confounding factors that might actually increase people's risk. So they did, and they used some statistical methods to adjust for your socioeconomic factors, poverty, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, high blood lipids, cholesterol, obesity, substance abuses and use concomitant with the e-cigarettes. People still did use some cigarette, cigar, hookah, smokeless cigarette, otherwise alcohol use. So all these other things were taken into account. And what they found was there was a significant evidence that electronic cigarette usage is independently associated with an increased risk of heart failure and heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, which means that though the pump is failing and not pumping as well, it still has a lot of fluid going through it. It's not a failed pump completely. What it is your pump is not pumping effectively, and things are backing up in your system, resulting in damage, which increases your risk of sudden death. And there's the risk of the heart failure is somewhere around 20% to 35% higher for people that use vapes. And so that's a real significant increase from baseline. And that's without having a heart attack, without getting a coronary artery disease. That's without getting all these other layers of stuff. Just from doing the vape, you can actually increase your risk of that. And that puts everyone who's doing vapes at jeopardy, and people in the vicinity. If you're doing vaping in a car, the person next to you is going to get some of that nicotine. If you're doing it in a house, it's going to float around the house. These are not particulates. These are vapors, so they can hang around longer. Those teeny tiny droplets can even get into your baby. So if you're vaping in your house and you have infants, toddlers, and children there, the dose that they're getting relative to their body mass is much higher than an adult from the secondhand vape debris. So it's something very much to consider that this is a real significant risk to health, and everyone should really reconsider whether or not they want to be using vapor devices. It looks like I've got an email. This is from Allie in St. Pete. She and her husband are 33 years old, and they moved into a rental house about 7 months ago. They discovered a small amount of black mold in the bathroom, and it tested and came back positive for Stachybotrys tartarum and Cladosporium. These are two very important black molds that actually contribute to health. They have moved out of their house, and the landlord does not want to break the lease. The landlord uses the typical ineffective technique of spraying the wall with some Clorox and wiping it down and saying it's gone. They did that, and it came right back. They finally, apparently, a few weeks ago, sent someone to cut out the area of moldiness, but that's not a full mold remediation, unfortunately. Both she and her husband had COVID in early February, and ever since then, they've had some chest discomfort. Feels like there's a sore heart on her left side, and it could be because COVID is associated with pericarditis, so it would be a really good idea to make sure that gets evaluated. Air hunger and feeling like you can't take a deep breath is also a symptom of cardiovascular challenge, and mold can actually cause symptoms like this because your body's feeling like it's being poisoned. And they did not have any of those symptoms until they recovered from the COVID. Well, the COVID does do that. It's mold toxicity, mold exposure, and COVID both can induce a chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And actually, the synergy of the two would be more likely to cause an ongoing cytokine storm problem, which would keep these things going forward, causing things like pericarditis or inflammation of the heart covering. So they've both had EKGs, blood work, echocardiogram for her, and he's had a chest x-ray, but they're all normal. They are going to order a mycotoxin test, and they want to see if that's related. The real-time labs mycotoxin test can give a really good assessment of what's in your body. And they're going to be taking some CoQ10, astragalus root, and can they take them at the same time, and how long should they take them? Well, that's really a question for a consultation, but CoQ10 and astragalus are both good supplements. They can be taken together. My favorite supplement currently for doing detox is called Chelex, C-H-E-L-E-X. You can get that at the Healthy Steps store. .com if you want, but Chelex is the binder that I use to help remove mycotoxins from me. And I hope that helps, and look forward to seeing you. In the meantime, I think we have a caller.
Indeed we do. We've got Betty from St. Pete, but I think you're right that black mold is certainly something to be afraid of. I'm going to go to Betty. Good morning to you, Betty. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Good morning to you.
I have
a question about neuropathy and nerve damage. Is there anything that can be done to alleviate a little bit of it other than gabapentin?
So the functional medicine approach to any kind of problem like that is first to find the cause. And so many causes are out there for neuropathy, vascular problems, diabetes, toxins, infections, and those need to be actually evaluated and treated, remove the source.
As a result of a stroke.
Okay, so you have vascular problems. So treating vascular disease is important while you're taking care of the neuropathy, but neuropathy symptoms can be, depending on what's going on, if it's complete numbness, it's difficult to get that to recover, but it can over many months, possibly years. But if there's pain and burning, that symptom can be resolved with some nutritional supplementation pretty rapidly.
Okay, like what?
So alpha-lipoic acid is a very good support. There's clinical research that shows that in diabetes-related neuropathy, 1,200 to 1,800 milligrams a day is an effective dose that works over the course of 2 or 3 months to reduce the pain and burning.
Great.
Some other supplements are activated B vitamins like methylcobalamin or methylated B12, methylfolate or methylfolic acid, and benfotiamine. Benfotiamine is an activated thiamine. All three of these have been shown to help with neuropathic symptoms.
Terrific. I will give it a go.
Great. Best wishes with that. It should work within several months. If not, it probably deserves more evaluation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And thank you very much, Betty, for participating. And it's gone dark here, so I'm going to give the phone number and information on out one more time. This is the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. And if you're wondering, yes, today is Ask Me Anything Monday, so give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking, what ails you. The number is 813-239-9663. Irene's ready to take your call. So again, the number, 813-239-9663. Or continue to send your emails to dj@wmnf.org or text us at 813-433-0885. Back to you there, Doctor.
Thank you. You know, I've talked, I think, previously about my interest in educating people and using appropriate tools to help them understand what they might be getting into when it comes to medical procedures and medical decision-making. So there's a tool that we doctors use. It's called the informed consent. The informed consent is a way of describing a procedure and its risks and benefits so that a person can make a logical decision as to whether or not they want to do this procedure or take this medication. And it's been obvious over decades that there is an issue when it comes to the professional's use of the informed consent. I have actually come to the conclusion that we should rename it as the misinformed consent or the disinformed consent. Because I know that a lot of people are familiar with the approach of, well, you're going to die if you don't get this procedure, and I've done lots of them, and nobody's ever done poorly. They've all done great. You better get it. Here, sign on the dotted line. And that's about the extent to which most people get an explanation of the risks and benefits of a procedure being offered. It's unfortunate, but this is the case. And this is why we probably have over 200,000 people dying from properly prescribed medications, because there wasn't enough time to actually properly diagnose before we properly prescribed the wrong medication. But then, on the other hand, people really need support when they have serious illness. And there has been, for 10 years or more, a system at the FDA of accelerated approval for investigational drugs. And what this is about is drugs that have not yet met the criteria for approval are able to slide through and get either emergency use authorization or something similar, or actually it's accelerated approval in the case of many cancer drugs. And they recently did a study where they looked at a total of 129 cancer drugs that were given accelerated approval from 2013 to 2023. And what they discovered is that simply, most cancer drugs granted accelerated approval did not demonstrate benefit in overall survival or quality of life within 5 years of accelerated approval. In other words, they're desperate attempts to find ways to treat something for which there isn't a treatment at this point, and they're getting approval for poisons that aren't effective and that are harmful. And this is a problem. So, there'll be more coming on this. It's a very important topic, and I think many times we should actually be thinking about going against medical advice because the medical advice is not actually appropriate based on this kind of information. And I believe that we have stimulated some conversation.
Ah, that's a great way to phrase it there, Doctor. I've got Larry, Sandy, and Ari on the line. So let's go to Larry in Clearwater. Good morning to you there. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm Lawrence. I'm calling for my wife. She has rheumatoid arthritis. I'm a first-time caller. And she has been taking all, going to an RA doctor, but every medication they put on her causes skin cancer. And she's tired of getting cut, removed the cancer. And she's trying diet. She's on a Mediterranean diet. She has a hard time exercising. And I was wondering if anything that the doctor could help, maybe suggest that might help her so she could stay off these toxic drugs that give her cancer, and we'll go from there, and I'll get off the line.
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate the question. Many people with rheumatoid arthritis are given the option to take very potent biologic medications that suppress the immune system. And when that happens, surveillance for cancer can reduce, and thus some might sneak through and result in having some more cancer diagnoses. This is a known complication. There are some things that you can do to actually help prevent new cancer diagnoses. And there's a great supplement that I use called NRF2 Activator. NRF2 Activator is a combination of four different support nutrients, and they are supporting a system, nuclear regulatory factor 2. It is a way of actually helping cells get clean and clear. And it actually helps to kill bad cells too, like cancer cells can die because of the signals that come from this supplement. And NRF2 Activator, or I think it's changed its name to Cytokine Balancer, because cytokines are the inflammatory molecules that make the system upset and promote more cancer. But the four things in it are turmeric extract, a specific one with 95% curcuminoids, green tea extract that has high amounts of catechins and polyphenols, which are very potent anti-cancer and liver supporting. Tarostilbene is another way of saying resveratrol, and that is the grape skin extract. It's very much associated with longevity. And glucoraphanin, a broccoli extract that is very anti-cancer. That would be a really good way to start calming the system down, because it's also very good for autoimmune disease. And I heard you mention Mediterranean diet. That's a good start. But the next level is to go to a paleo diet, like the AIP autoimmune protocol from Amy Myers, or the Walls diet, WAHLS. Both are anti-inflammatory diets, and both are really good at helping with rheumatoid arthritis. I would try that and a good probiotic to support the system. Thanks.
Okay, Sadie, yeah. Next. Yeah, let's go to Sandy. Good morning to you there, Sandy.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, my husband and I recently signed up for these body scans by a company in Tampa. They do the heart and lung scan. We saw them at a festival. Anyhow, I'm just wondering what you think of those, and if it's worth, they say low dose radiation to get the results of that.
What is it? Is it a CAT scan of your heart and lungs, or is it something else? CAT scan?
Yeah.
I don't tend to use CAT scans for preventive screening tests. They do have, if it's a CAT scan, it's a high dose radiation, no matter whether they tell you it's. What's that?
CT.
Yeah. CT scans are high radiation, even if they tell you it's low, because they have to do multiple beams to get the images. I think if you're looking for screening tests, ultrasound of your carotids is an easy screen. A chest X-ray is lower radiation and would be as effective. But if you don't have a cough, there's not much reason to do a chest X-ray.
If lung cancer runs in his family.
Yeah, actually, numerous clinical studies have shown that unless you have symptoms, a screening chest X-ray, even in smokers, is not effective.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
I think metabolic testing, I think, is much more valuable. You can look at, the really crucial things like your insulin levels and your cholesterol levels and your blood counts and your nutrient levels, and really find out how you're working inside. The X-ray is just a spot in time and often results in wild goose chases for things that aren't really worrisome.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. And do you think that class 4 lasers would help to strengthen your SI joints? if you
Class 4 lasers help to grow more connective tissue, help to strengthen the connective tissue. So yes, there's a good possibility it would, but you want to make sure you're getting good nutrition and exercise along with it. That will help support the fibroblast stimulation that happens with the Class 4 laser.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day there.
Thank you. You have a great one too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you there, Sandy. And yes, I've got Ari and Tony on the line. Tony calling all the way from New York. But we're about halfway through the show, so I don't want everybody rushing for the last couple of minutes to call on in. So I'll remind you, you are listening to the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Give us a call at 813-239-9663 or continue sending your emails to dj@wmnf.org. Ari's been waiting patiently. Let's go to Lakeland. Good morning, Ari.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Harvey.
Good morning.
Few questions. I called before, so either way, I am, I think I'm 46. I'm 46 years old, Latina, pretty active. At what point for a woman are we close to premenopause? What could be some premenopause symptoms? I know I get I don't think I get hot flashes. I just, when I leave from like the car and going into the store, I get a little sweaty, but that's it that I remember. But what are some or recommendations of resources to get to understand premenopause?
So premenopause comes at different places for different people. Often, it will be very similar to what the woman's mother did. You know, if mom had menopause at 50, daughter just might. However, illness, stress, and other things come into the play there and can alter when you're going to go through your menopause. Some of the symptoms you get can be changes in your temperature regulation, changes in mood, changes in sleep, all kinds of things like that. So if you're noticing shifts out of the usual for you, it could be. You might notice that your period has become shorter or that has become heavier or that it is coming a few days later. There can be all kinds of little changes like that. But if you're beginning to get that, I think it's really a good idea to actually get some hormone checks with a good functional doctor. I like salivary hormone because it gives you the cellular levels of what's going on. But blood tests can work as well. And one of the initial treatments that many people use are herbs, things like chasteberry and other things like that. Soy can actually be somewhat helpful, or it can be harmful in a sense that it may bring forth more symptoms because soy is anti-estrogen. And so soy actually helps to blunt the effect of estrogen. And if you're already losing your estrogen, you might notice it more. Progesterone is another thing that is a big issue that when your ovaries begin to stop working, then you start producing less progesterone. And progesterone is a very calming hormone. It helps to keep your hot flashes under control. So progesterone is over the counter, and it might be a good place to start with a topical cream that's been around for 30 years that blunts these symptoms. Many people will take them from the day that they're they'll start 15 days after their period begins and take it for 2 weeks and stop it when the period begins again and keep cycling that way. Some people take it every night. It does help with sleep.
Okay, that's very good. Another question I have is, have you heard of red light therapy to improve vision?
No, I've heard of red light therapy, but not specifically to improve vision.
Okay.
I use something called the Yoga of Perfect Eyesight. It's actually a book by Dr. Agrawal, and there's many people that actually have eye exercises online. You could actually search and find some that feel good for you because you can strengthen your eyes using some good technique.
Also online, I could use, and it's called Yoga Perfect Eyesight.
That's a book that was found, and you can just Google eyesight exercises, yoga for the eyes. You'll find some really good stuff online.
Okay, and that when someone starts with that, because I already have glasses, I have astigmatism in my eye, I'm nearsighted.
Yes,
all those things. How will this improve my eyesight? What does that do? What changes would I notice?
Well, you'll probably have some more clear vision. I've noticed that it helped with my reading vision. I was able to actually not have so much of that old age eyesight as I aged. I was able to train that so I could actually read without glasses.
Oh, good, because my husband's starting to need some, and he was asking, so I'll definitely mention that for him. And lastly, book recommendation. I know there's many, but is there a book that you would recommend or maybe post online for us to pick up and read for, you know, healthier ways, vitamins, herbs, or food? There's so many out there, but what have you read recently that maybe we can pick up and read as well?
Well, Mark Hyman's What the Heck Do I Eat is a pretty good book. I like, well, since many of us are dealing with the epidemic of aging brains, Dale Bredesen's book, End of Alzheimer's, Reversing Cognitive Decline, has a lot of tips in there on how to prevent the loss of your brain. David Perlmutter's Grain Brain is an excellent book for talking about how grain makes our brains dysfunction. And William, how is it, Murray, like on his last name, the cardiologist, also wrote on grain as being bad for your heart. He calls it wheat belly. And just overall general health is recommended there. So, and then for your emotional, spiritual growth, Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. So, I hope those help. Have a great week, Arya.
You too. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
Well, thank you very much for that book list, too. Stuff to check out. Let's go to Tony all the way up in New York. Good morning, Tony. Thanks for your patience.
Okay, thank doctor. I was wondering, my mom broke the bone near her eye socket. And
yes,
she has, I guess, neuropathy, burning sensation. Was the stuff that you recommended before appropriate, or is it a different type of you know, symptoms for the diabetic type of neuropathy?
So, yeah, the those nutrients can help with all nerve health. They definitely help, but they really have been shown to help with neuropathy, and what your mom has is nerve damage. Rather than a pathology of the nerve, she just had it whacked. She probably fell, right?
Yes, she fell into something and hit her head.
Yeah, and so that's just going to take some time to heal. How long ago was her fall?
A long time ago, 7 to 10 years ago even.
Oh, my. That kind of stuff can respond to some manual therapy called craniosacral therapy. When people have trauma like that, sometimes they store emotions with the trauma in the tissue around the area where it was traumatized, and pain will persist for long after the injury. And by doing a release with craniosacral therapy, the energy of the trauma sometimes is able to leave that area and the pain will reduce.
Okay. Any other type of things you have recommend for her?
I would say start with that, because if it's that long going on, this isn't something that medication is going to help. I'd start with some manual therapy, that chiropractic, acupuncture, things that are going to be actually working directly with the problem.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
You're very welcome.
Thank you there, Fred, Tony. And let's go to, I guess we've got Fred in Lakeland. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, doctor. I have a question. I had, at the end of December, I went to urgent care and had gross hemuria, and they did a CT scan, determined I had a lesion.
On your kidney?
On my bladder. in my bladder. And, and then about a month later, I had the surgery to remove the lesion. And currently I'm on a immunotherapy called Keytruda. And I've done my third treatment. What do you think about that? And I am really interested in nutrition, too. And there seems to be a disconnect between doctors and nutrition. I'm a little bit frustrated with that.
That's understandable. I'm frustrated with my former profession, too, because they don't seem to want to learn. In any event, your bladder tumor sounds like it was probably a squamous cell tumor of the bladder lining. Keytruda is a immune therapy that causes your white blood cells to attack these squamous cell tumors, it appears. And so it is effective. It's worse adverse consequences that it can induce an autoimmune problem in your body if you have a predisposition to that. If you're tolerating it, that's great. The disconnect with nutrition is that there is no nutritional education in medical school, and it has to be done outside of there, and doctors get busy and don't do it. And so food means nothing to most doctors, and so you need help outside of there. Functional medicine doctors are the subset of the profession that is concerned with that. And my suggestion is that you get a very clean diet. Just bladder cancers come from putting toxins through. We all have toxins in our foods. So getting rid of pesticides and not smoking and eliminating alcohol and colored dyes, flavors, sweeteners, all these things are really important for keeping the bladder lining healthy.
Yes, I haven't. I was a smoker 50 years ago, so I don't believe that's the cause of the cancer. I believe it might be from handling materials that are toxic.
Exactly.
So I am just wondering, it's a T1 high grade, so it's non-muscle invasive cancer. So they're trying to save the bladder. I'm trying to save your bladder from being removed. So it's right on the edge, of, you know, and I'm going to have a checkup here on the 23rd to see. They'll scope me again and see what it looks like inside my bladder. But you're saying that the Keytruda, the immunotherapy, is probably a good approach.
It's a difficult tumor to treat. Another thing you could take is that NRF2 activator that I mentioned earlier, cytokine balance. It actually has all four of those things have anti-tumor effect. And if you look up glucoraphanin or sulforaphane on PubMed, you can find that there are thousands of articles about this chemical in preventing cancer and causing tumor shrinkage. Is good stuff.
Okay. Well, right now I am, you know, eating well. A lot of fruits and vegetables. I need more protein so it doesn't break down the muscle. But you're saying that it's probably not a bad approach to what I need right now.
It sounds reasonable, but I would definitely add in some anti-cancer supplementation support.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okie dokie. I've got Amanda and Nina. Let's go to Amanda. Good morning to you there, Amanda.
Good morning.
Hello there.
Hello.
What you got for us today?
Okay, so I am calling with regards to my husband. He's a relatively young man. He's 45. And in the last 7 years, he's had double Achilles tears twice, IT band dislocation. He has cysts in his hands and toes, has a meniscus tear that led to a dislocation of bones in his foot currently. So we're both pretty sick of him being in a wheelchair or bedbound or with a cane. And so I'm calling for, I think, just some guidance on things that we can add to his treatment plan. No surgery is recommended for him ever. Just wait and see and heal. So just nutritionally, supplementation support, anything that we can add in to his regimen to help him kind of get back to some normalcy.
Yeah, there's some really interesting stuff. The BioIberica company in Spain has found this really great hyaluronic acid, which is a coxcomb extract. I think they get it from somewhere else though. It is in a supplement called Synovix Tendon Ligament. And it actually helps to reorganize and rebuild damaged tendons. I used it to help rebuild my rotator cuffs. And so I would recommend that Synovix Tendon Ligament be added to the regimen. I think it's a good thing, but clear that with your orthopedist or whoever's working on this. Regenimax or Biosil is orthosilicic acid. It's actually shown to improve collagen production, and collagen is the structural material from which all these things are made. Vitamin C is also a very good collagen production support, and so I think that all three of those are very good supports for those things. And class 4 laser helps to recruit fibroblasts and rebuild collagen structures, soft tissue structures. So it may be worth it to see a chiropractor, a physical therapy therapist, or an acupuncture who uses class 4 laser to help support the regrowth and healing of those areas that have been damaged.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
All right. Have a great day.
And hope your husband gets out of that wheelchair.
Me too. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, absolutely. I do have Nina and Sarasota on the line, but I'm going to give people a chance to fill our last 15 minutes to give us a call at 813-239-9663 to join us here at WMNF Tampa and the Healthy Steps Radio Show with Dr. Fred Harvey. It is an Ask Me Anything Monday, so it's your choice. The number again is 813-239-9663, or continue to send the emails to dj@wmnf.org. Good morning to you, Nina.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day today.
It is.
Quick question. Could you go over again, just if an adult thinks that they have ADHD, would there be supplements that that person could take if, you know, not, you know, other than drugs or anything that would help?
I don't think there are any drugs that treat ADHD. I haven't actually found, because I don't think there's actually a condition yet. No one's actually been able to produce a pathophysiologic cause for it or describe a biologic reason for something called ADHD. And so psychiatrists do a great job of making up symptom descriptions and then putting labels on them, calling them diseases, and then using medications that were designed to do something else to actually put blankets over top of these diseases. So from my perspective, deficit and attention deficit disorder is due to some problem with brain processing. And so I would like to look for why the brain is having problems processing. So my pickup starts with looking at nutrient levels, looking at vitamin levels, looking at fatty acid levels. You know, brains actually dysfunction when you don't have enough omega-3 fats in them. And they also dysfunction when you don't have enough B vitamins in them. And so we need to look at these nutrient patterns. We need to look at inflammation, because inflammation, cytokines, actually cause brain dysfunction. And we also know that toxins, such as artificial colors, can cause brain distraction. And so really, it's the way I approach the problem of brain dysfunction is by working on the body. And so we need to actually eliminate things like excess sugar, excess caffeine, gluten, processed foods, things that actually have multisyllabic chemical names in them that aren't part of real food that we see in the boxes in the middle of the grocery store. All these things are brain poison.
Right. I agree. Okay. All right. That makes sense. I know when my kids were little and they thought they did, they would say, you know, they used to put kids on Ritalin.
That's horrible. What a poisonous torture.
That's terrible. Okay, great. All right. Thanks a lot. That's a big help. I appreciate it.
So welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling on in there, Nina. And I have Aaron and Chris on the line. Let's go to Aaron. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Great. Aaron, how are you?
I'm all right. So I'm going to kind of branch off what that a couple of previous callers were calling about some Achilles tendon injuries. I'm actually dealing with a severe ankle sprain at the moment.
Yes.
I'm actually taking the Synovix. Definitely seem to be making some quick progress, I would say, hopefully. But I had asked you in the past about some Sermorelin to get the growth hormone production levels up. Would something like that in a severe injury kind of case, like, would that be something you might be more on board with getting on to help speed up an injury, getting the growth hormone levels up through something like that?
I actually haven't seen any research on it, but it sounds like it's something rational to look at. It could be valuable. I'm just not familiar with any research specifically on it.
On what? Just growth hormone levels? Like,
no, like using Sermorelin to help an injury.
Yeah. I mean, but so rationally, you're saying, though, that does sound like it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah. It does.
I know you always like to recommend getting growth hormone levels up through, you know, normal natural things like exercising and doing deadlifts and this and that. And I'm on board with all that, but now being laid up with this ankle injury, I'm not really doing many Romanian deadlifts at the moment.
So currently all I can find regarding Sermorelin and injury is from concierge bodybuilding doctors, and it's just their opinion. Does this help with injuries? And it's basically, it may. So I don't know. I don't see anything from like NIH, PubMed that's telling us, yeah, we have some proof here that it works. Yeah, drip hydration is a big pusher of Sermorelin because they make money selling it. So I don't know. It's a good question. I don't disagree that it's something to think about, but I can't see that there's any evidence yet.
Okay. Any other suggestions for the injury?
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing there with the Synovix. I would get some Regenimax to build collagen, some orthosilicic acid, Biosil or Regenimax, and vitamin C, you know, tolerated 3,000 milligrams a day, something like that. As long as your gut's tolerating it, it would be really helpful to grow there, and lots of good protein, at least a half gram per pound daily.
And then Biosil?
Biosil is also called Regenimax, and its chemical structure is orthosilicic acid.
Gotcha. Excellent. Okay. I appreciate that.
So, best wishes. Hope you heal soon.
Thank you so much. Take care, Doc.
You too.
Thank you there, Aaron. Let's go to Chris in Tampa. We're down to the last couple of 5 minutes here. What do you got, Chris?
Real quick, good morning, you guys.
Hi.
I wanted to ask the doctor, I've been reading a book, How Not to Die. Is he familiar with that?
I have heard of the book.
And it's all about, it says every disease, best thing you can do is change your diet. It's all about plant-based, and I've never been plant-based, but I have for about 3 months since I was reading the book, based on my cardiologist telling me to read it. In order to not be, you know, prescribed more blood pressure medication or statins, he goes, you know, here's your option. Well, I just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. I've never met a human society that's vegan.
Right.
But doing plant-forward diet, plant-based diet, that's what I eat. I try to shoot for around 80% plants and 20% animal.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I've been doing it. And he actually gave me 4 months, and he said, come back. And I'm supposed to go back, I believe, the end of this month. But I just wanted to know. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
What are the parameters that you're trying to actually reassess at the end of 4 months?
I'm getting my blood pressure lowered because he thinks it's mostly diet that's affecting it.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, you can adjust your diet or you can, you know, up your dose of medication. You can deal with side effects or whatever. And I said, well, you know, I'd rather try to adjust my diet because, to be honest, I don't like taking any of it.
Yes.
But, it's not just for blood pressure. It talks about cancer. You know, it talks about everything, really.
Yes. When you clean up your diet, you're going to clean up all your systems. You're going to have less disease everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I think it's a great book. I just didn't know. You know, the cardiologist actually told me about it, and he said, you know, the same thing you said is that nobody teaches nutrition.
Right.
And I think if people, you know, read this book or the books you suggested, it makes a lot of sense. So, okay, that's it. I just wanted your opinion.
Yeah, I think he makes great diet recommendations, and I think that the diet that's been shown to be the most associated with longevity, healthy longevity, where your health span equals your lifespan, that's the modified Mediterranean diet that most of the blue zones eat, which is 80 to 90% plant, 20 to 10% animal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, have a great day. You too.
Thank you, Chris. We're down to the last 2 minutes or so. So if you've got a couple of emails that tickle your fancy, go ahead there, doctor.
Sure. Diane asked, my 30-year-old daughter has been on birth control since her teens to help with menstrual cramps. She's off the pill, coming off the pill now, and wondering what she can do to support the transition. I would say that good nutrition is the key. Doing that Mediterranean-style plant-forward diet is the answer, and keeping it quite varied. Reducing the amount of sugar, artificials, and pesticides and things in the food, that's really key. So look at that Dirty Dozen, Clean 15. Let's see. Here's one from Deborah. For mycotoxin detox, do I use Kelex alone or with glutathione? Actually, I use Kelex with Liver Protect, which helps make glutathione. Liver Protect is another one from Zymogen that supports glutathione production inside your body. I don't usually take glutathione itself. It's expensive, and I know that your liver can make it with these other supports. Let's see. Here's a message from Mike. He said, the show is fantastic. Thanks to the doctor. Everything that has been said, he just didn't want to be on air. And thanks a lot for everything on today's show. Here's a quick one. Najee wants to know, what's the best ED treatment, erectile dysfunction treatment, I'm assuming? Well, that's quite a wide range of things because first we have to find out why you have erectile dysfunction. There is a large study called the HIM study, Health in Men. And what it found out was that men who have medical problems, whether it's high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, or any other variety of different health challenges, they tend to have erectile dysfunction. Stress is also related to erectile dysfunction. The big head on top of your body actually controls the other one. So get yourself in a good mood. Meditation is one of the best ways to get yourself in the mood to be able to have sex. Stress is a place where you're running. And who wants to reproduce when you're running from a tiger? You don't. So get yourself into a better mental state and things will flow so much better. So anyway, thanks a lot for a wonderful show. Great engagement today. Thanks for all your great questions. Bill, I thank you for producing a wonderful show for me and always providing such great input. And Irene, thanks for fielding all these phone calls from these lovely people. Have a great week, and I will see you all next week.
Well, and thank you, Doctor. And I want to be sure that, yes, Irene helps make this show run so smoothly. And so until next Monday at 10 o'clock, thanks to all of our listeners and participants as well. You all take care. Stay healthy. You have been listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa. Coming on up next is 5 minutes of NPR News, followed by the Sustainable Living Show, hosted by the Sultanas of Sustainability, Annie Ellis and Tanya Vidovic. Until next Monday at 10 a.m., thank you for supporting and listening to the Healthy Steps radio show with Dr. Fred Harvey here on WMNF Tampa, your community-conscious radio station. Stay safe. Stay thoughtful and know that you are loved.